the book of 1 Corinthians. The chapter is 14. And I want to read verse number 15. Now, many people will say that if you just read one verse, you are proof texting. Well, I tell them like this, as long as the proof is in the text, what are you worried about? I know what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, as he spoke to some Jews which believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in verse number 36, he said, and if the Son of Man therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We're concerned about freedom tonight. Freedom from falsehood. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the cares and the problems of this world. But most importantly, freedom from eternal damnation. Are you in the book of 1 Corinthians 14? What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Listen to the subject. Is it sing and pray? Or sing and play? Is it sing and pray? Or sing and play? Our subject tonight is one of the most controversial subjects in religion. Preachers have been arguing about music in church worship for many years. Whether you believe it or not, during the first century, the Church of Christ used what we call vocal music. That is, they sung with their voices. There was no addition to the singing. When Catholicism raised its head, came into full bloom in 606 A.D., the Catholic Church, a few years later, was presented an organ. They began around 670 A.D. to play it. And many Catholics were disturbed. As a matter of fact, in 1050, there was a divisiveness, a division in the Catholic Church over mechanical instruments of music. I am told through history that the Greek Orthodox Church separated from the Roman Catholic Church. I am told even unto this day, many of them do not use mechanical instruments of music. Well, when people ask me, preacher, what do you think about it? I simply tell folk whatever the Bible says, that's fine with me. And in order for us to establish biblical authority, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, if the word of truth is not rightly divided, then you can read something in the Bible and practice it and think that it is all right. When you rightly divide 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, then you will have a better understanding of the will of God for your life. Paul said to Timothy, study. Now this word study is not the real normal word that we use, but I believe it is sufficient. That word study, spadazzo, the word means to make diligence. To make haste, to make speed, to labor, to work. So Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to hurry up and labor, study, toil to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, I looked at that thing, rightly dividing. Actually, we have a word here that really comes from two words, ortho tomao. And this particular word simply, orthos means to stand upright. You ever gone to a doctor with a leg problem? You went to an orthopedic doctor. And he deals with helping people to stand up. And then that other word simply means to cut straight. So what does the doctor do? He cuts on you in order for you to stand upright. Well, when you go to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be rightly divided, it will help you to stand up right. It will help you to walk right. Yes, it will help you to be straight when you deal with God Almighty. So we need to rightly divide the Word of truth. When men talk about music, you need to understand that music is a general word. And if you're going to deal with it properly, then you must get specific. When you say music, it's so general. There are two kinds of music. That is mechanical instruments of music. And that is vocal music. Now we call vocal music a cappella music. In other words, when it comes down to singing, we're going to see that God has given us as a human being in our human bodies everything that we need in order to carry out His command. Oh yes, we're going to talk about it here tonight. You don't need any addition. God has given you everything that you need. When I talk about it tonight, I'm going to try to make it plain because too many people have not understood church music. Are you all paying attention? Well, let me go ahead of myself for a minute. And maybe I can bag this thing up and work on it. Come over to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I want to just introduce you to church music. Are you all listening? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now where will this praise be done? In the midst of the church. Now this word church is ecclesia, which simply means those who are called out into Christ. Called out into the church of Christ. Called out into the kingdom of Christ. Are you all paying attention? So when the church comes together, Jesus is the principal speaker in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, in the midst of the assembly, in the midst of worship. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, when I talk about church music, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm talking about singing. And I want to know when I look at the book, is God authorizing singing and praying or singing and playing? Oh, yes, you need to understand tonight. I want you to hear that word. Play. P-L-A-Y. And I'm going to work on it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because I need you to understand tonight that your worship must be acceptable to God. Come over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. I need you to see whether or not your worship is acceptable unto God. The Bible said, wherefore are you there? We receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Isn't that in your Bible? Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So how are we going to serve God acceptably? With reverence and godly fear. Our service must be acceptable to God. Don't worry about pleasing me. You need to be concerned about pleasing God. As a matter of fact, I heard Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Paul said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. I'm here tonight to please God. I want to be a servant of Christ. Come to 1 Peter. I'm going to the Old Testament in a few minutes. Come to 1 Peter, a chapter, a number 2, and verse number 5. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse number 5. Now, you know, I don't mean you all any harm. And you all know that. You see, I have a little gadget up here myself. You see this? I have something up here myself. And I can't keep up with my own stuff. And I don't expect you all to punch all of these buttons on these phones and keep up with me. It's just almost impossible. But if you're good with it, you can do it. Isn't that all right? So I don't mean any harm. One night we had a brother. He brought, man, his computer up in the classroom. And another brother looked at it. He said, man, there's no way in the world he's going to keep up with Brother Hope with that big old computer sitting up in there. Are you all right? Oh, man, you have to really know how to work this stuff to keep up with me. I'm not saying I just want to go ahead of you. But I am leading in the study. And so don't get upset and, you know, put your stuff down and sit on it because you can't keep up. Just hang in there. Yeah, be like the woman, you know. She was having problems with her husband, Brother Mitchell. And she went to the preacher. She said, preacher, I just can't stay with him no more. Preacher asked her why or what's the problem. She said, the man whips me. And he beats on me. And I just can't stay with him. The preacher said, honey, just hang in there. And she went home trying to hang in there. When she got there, he whipped her again. She went back to the preacher. She said, preacher, I just can't stay with this man. He said, well, honey, just hang in there. She went home the next night. He whipped her again. And by this time, she had a mind made up. She went back to the preacher. She said, preacher, I just can't stay. But what I want you to do is to go to my house and talk to him for me. And the preacher said, yes. Man, the preacher knocked on the door. And when the guy opened the door, he grabbed the preacher in the throat and start whipping on the preacher. So the woman was standing across the street. And the preacher said, call. And she looked. He said, call. And she looked. He said, call the police. She shouted back, you hang in there. That's what you were telling me. I came to you for help. You told me to hang in there. Are you in 1 Peter 2? Yeah. All I want you to do tonight, I'm not going to whip you like that, but I need you to hang in there. Are you in 1 Peter 2? Verse number 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what is a spiritual house going to offer up? A spiritual house is going to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Singing is a spiritual sacrifice. Giving is a spiritual sacrifice. Eating the Lord's Supper is a spiritual sacrifice. Praying is a spiritual sacrifice. Preaching the word is a spiritual sacrifice. So as an holy priesthood, we are going to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now I have a sermon that I usually preach. It's simply entitled, Do You Like Soul Music? There's a difference between secular music, soul music, and spiritual music. I won't preach it tonight, but at least I'll let you know about it. Because a whole lot of folk got it all mixed up. Tonight, I'm talking about spiritual music. Not secular music. Not this so-called soul music. And Lord knows I'm not talking about rhythm and blues. You ought to be all right after a while. I'm trying to tell you, we ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices because they are acceptable to God. So what I need to do here is to take you back for just a moment to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of 2 Chronicles. The chapter is 7 and the verse is 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 6. Now I want to set this up because all of us need to understand that there are two great divisions of the Bible. There is the old division called the Old Testament. There's the new division called the New Testament. You need to understand why God gave the old division as he dealt basically with the children of Israel, the sons of Abraham, if you please. You need to understand. I know Isaac was his daddy, but understand here tonight, God made promise to Abraham. Am I correct about it? That his seed should be blessed throughout all the earth. Well, by the time the people came to the days of David, David did something among the people of God. David made instruments of music whereby to worship God. Are you in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 6? And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also. Watch this now, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Somebody said, you see that preacher? David used mechanical instruments of music. Well, honey, let me tell you something. You can't do everything David did and expect God to be pleased. I remember one time David should have been out on the battle, but he was at the house, stepped out on his roof, looked over there and saw a woman named Bathsheba bathing herself, sent for that woman, impregnated her. I want you to hear it. Took her husband, put him on the front line of battle, had him killed. Honey, you don't want to do everything that David did. As a matter of fact, David had about 8 wives. And listen, fellas, you can't take care of that many. David had problems. Are you all right? I just want to tell you, you don't want to do everything that David did. Now, I know there's a verse in the Bible that says, in the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. So God overlooked a whole lot of stuff that they did back then that he wasn't pleased with, but God still punished sin. Are you paying attention? You got to get this. So David made instruments of music, and he praised the Lord with them. Come back to chapter 5. I'm still in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 5. Let's take a look at verse 13. If you're there, just say you're there. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 17. The Bible says, verse 13 rather. 2 Chronicles 5. Are you at verse 13? It came to pass. Even came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were of one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now you got to catch this. You need to see what they were using back then. Yes, God permitted them to use all of these instruments. It was permitted by God. But now let me drop something else on you. Just because a thing is permitted one time doesn't mean God permits it every time. And you got to remember that. Just because God allows something one time, two times, three times, doesn't mean that God allowed it all the time. Well, now let me work. Come to Amos chapter 5, verse number 23. Now we've established that they use what? Mechanical instruments of music. Sometime. Did you catch it? I said they use the wind. Sometime. They didn't use them all the time. Because all the time, God didn't want to hear it. Are you in Amos 5, verse 23? Oh, the Bible is right. Listen to it. The book said, take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Are you all listening to this? I don't know if you know this or not, but don't think this word vowel in this text is a string instrument, because it's not. Well, what is it? It's a skin bag or a bottle. In other words, they blew in a vase. They blew in a bottle. They put wind in a bottle or a pitcher, and they made a sound. God said, I don't want to hear that sound. The word is Nebal. You can go look it up if you want to. The word is right. God said, I don't want to hear this noise. Well, if God didn't want to hear the noise, the question is, did he always authorize it? If he didn't want to hear it, that means he didn't always authorize it. There were times when God said, take away from me the noise of thy song. Notice the noise of thy song. I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Now, I want you to catch this. Because in the Old Testament, the melody was made on an instrument outside of man. The melody was made on an instrument that was made by hands. Are you all listening? But when I get to the New Testament, I'm going to show you when God says make melody, it's not on an instrument outside of man. It's on an instrument in the heart. That's the organ. The instrument on the inside that makes the melody. But just wait till I get there. I'm not ready for it yet. I'm just letting you know where I'm going. Isn't that all right? So I want to work with this just a little bit longer. People say, well, you see there in the Old Testament, even in the book of Psalms, honey, they use all kinds of instruments. Let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let me tell you what I tell the Muslims. Are you listening to this? This is what I tell the Muslims. You see, Muhammad believed that there was only one supreme being and his name was Allah. The Muslims believe that Allah was the supreme being. But when Muhammad was growing up, they would go down to what they call the Kaaba. And there were 360 idols at the Kaaba where they would worship. Muhammad picked the one called Allah and put him over the rest of the idol gods. Allah was an idol god. So later on, Muhammad claimed that the angel Gabriel came and spoke to him and gave him the words of the Quran. And then Muhammad put in the Quran the Psalms of David. Now, he didn't put all of the Psalms of David in the Quran, but by the mere fact that he acknowledged David and the Psalms, I make them stick to it. Since they acknowledge David in the Psalms, I usually go to Psalms, the second division, and teach the deity of Christ out of the book of Psalms. So I make them stick with it. Don't introduce something to me that you are not ready to die with. Are you all paying attention? If you introduce something to me, you better be ready to die with it, because I'm going to hold you to it through the entire process. Are you listening? Well, I want to tell you, when people in the religious world introduce Psalms 150 to me, you got to die with the book of Psalms. Are you paying attention? Now, I'm going to see if you really believe what you say you believe. You say Psalm 150 ought to be played. As a matter of fact, a de facto in the Church of Christ, a preacher who used to preach in the Church of Christ, wrote me a letter. And he put all of these Psalms in the letter. And then he told me, until Jesus comes, let the band play on. I wrote him back. As a matter of fact, I put together a sermon entitled, In New Testament Worship, the Band Never Played. Are you paying attention? I said, in New Testament worship, the band never played. And he's talking about, until Jesus comes back, let the band play on. Honey, Jesus didn't authorize the band to play in the first place. So you're going to have to live and die with it if you introduce it up in the Church of Christ. Because we're going to hold you to the line. Why you think the Bible says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Why do you think he said line upon line? I'll tell you why. Because when you deal with the Bible, you have to put commandment upon commandment, precept upon precept, line upon line, rule upon rule, here a little. little and bear a little. And when you do all of that, I guarantee you, you will get the understanding that God wants you to get. But if you go in there and just pull out you something, thinking you have all you need, honey, when you run up on somebody that really knows the Bible, you're going to find yourself in trouble. So let's go to Psalm 66. Are you all on mine, do you? Let's go to Psalms 66. I need to work with Psalms 66. I'm going to start at verse number 1. And then I'm going to drop down. Are you all paying attention? Let's go to Psalms 66. Then I'm going to drop down to verse 13. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the God, all ye lands. Or what are they told to make? Make a joyful noise unto God. Drop down to verse 13. I want to know. Now, since we are dealing with the book of Psalms, this is not, you all know what a smorgasbord lunch is, don't you? Well, let me tell you what it is in America. When you go in America and you go to a restaurant, they may have 5 or 6 different kinds of meat. You can select, choose whatever you want, and then go to your table and eat. They may have 6 or 7 vegetables. You can select whatever you want. Go to your seat. They may have 4 and 5 different kinds of breads. You can select what you want. Go to your seat and eat. They may have 3 or 4, 5 different flavors of ice cream. It doesn't, you know, touch Devon's ice cream, but let me just, yeah, I've been to the Devon house. I've been over there. It's mighty good. Well, they don't serve you that, you know. It's in a fountain. Yeah. In other words, it's more milk than cream. But anyway, when it comes down to it, what you got to understand is this. You can go and select whatever you want. They call it a smorgasbord. So now when it comes down to the Bible, God doesn't give us a smorgasbord. You can't just go in the Bible and pick out what you like and do what you like. You got to believe what God says, and if you're going to do it, you got to do everything he says. So I want to work on this. Are you at verse 13? The Bible said, I will go into thy house. Where is he going? Now, you know and I know this house is the house of God. Now, don't you know that? Or where is he going? Into the house of God. Now, listen to what he's going with. With burnt offering, I will pay thee my vows. With my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken. When I was in trouble, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatling. With incense of ram, I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Oh, you see that word, Selah? That's a suspension. He pauses for a minute before he picks up with the rest of it. But notice what he said. He would offer burnt offering, sacrifices of fatling, incense of ram, bullocks with goats. Now, wait a minute. Wait 1 Mississippi cotton picking minute. You need to see this. Whatever he's going to use in the house of God, he's not picking and choosing. You can't pick and choose. You can't go in there and get the joyful noise out and leave the rest of it. You got to bring your burnt offerings. You got to bring your rams, your goats, your bulls, your incense. Now, how many churches got all of this up in their churches? Talk back to me. You don't hear them talking about they have a bull or ram or goat that they're going to burn next Sunday in worship to God. Why not? It's in the same song with the noise. You want to talk about what you're going to do when you get to heaven? Honey, you better get it straight right now. What about the offerings? I'll tell you. Jesus nailed it all. to the cross. He didn't say, nail the burnt offering, the bull, the goats. He nailed the entire law. He nailed it all. That takes care of the mechanical music as well as the Sabbath. He nailed it all. Well, now let me work. I said, let me work. You know, it's amazing to me. I do the preaching and the folks sitting out in the pews get tired. I try to figure this stuff out. How you getting tired and I'm doing the work? You don't have to just sit here. All you got to do is let your finger do the walking through the Bible pages. Isn't that right? Well, let's see what happened then with the first law. And then we'll see what he did with the second. You remember Romans chapter 10, and I'm going over after Romans 10 to Hebrews 10. Brother, in my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and goeth about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Now, what is Christ the end of? He's the end of the law for righteousness. To whom? To everyone that believes. The only reason people are holding on to that old law is because they are not true believers. Did you catch it? If you become a true believer, you will give it up because Jesus nailed it to the cross. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. The Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Isn't that right? Now, what bulls and goats could not do? Take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me. Why was Jesus prepared a body? Since the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, and blood had to be shed in order to take away sin, Jesus had a body prepared for him that he might go to the cross and shed his blood to take away our sins. So that's why a body was prepared. Now watch verse number 9. The Bible says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will. That is, by the second will. Are we sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all? You see, under the old economy, under the old Jewish system, every year the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. He went in there with some blood for his sins and the sins of the people. He did it year after year. But when Jesus was prepared a body, he went one time as an offering. He doesn't have to keep going because his blood is sufficient. Am I correct about it? Well, I need to go a step further. Come to Hebrews 7. Verses 11 and 12. I told you the other night, I'll get finished. And when I get finished, So just wait on me. Hebrews chapter 7. Are you at verse number 11? If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Are you all listening? When the priesthood changed, the law changed. In other words, as long as the old covenant, the Ten Commandments, as long as the old law was standing, I'm telling you, they were under the Aaronic priesthood. But once Jesus came and died, he did away. He was after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, Jesus is our high priest forever. If you all don't mind, I hear people saying, well, you know, I still believe we ought to hold on to it, honey. Well, let me tell you, good people, something. You can hold on to it if you want to. Come to Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you what you are when you try to hold on to something that God has loosed you from. A whole lot of folk are trying to hold on to something that they've been loosed from. And since you still want to hold on to it, I need to help you. Are you in Galatians 3? Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Are you all listening? Since you just want to hold on to it, guess where God just placed you? God just placed you under a curse. Now, do you really want to remain under a curse? Do you really want to hold on to the Old Testament? Do you really want to hold on to the law of Moses? Don't try to tell me the law of Moses and the law of God are two distinct separate laws. You make me go to the Bible and I'll show you there isn't but one law. The Bible is right. People need to understand that. They're trying to make the ceremonial laws and the moral law. They got the Decalogue. They got all of this stuff. They're trying to tell people, we don't understand. Honey, we understand. Yeah, you remember I was talking about rightly dividing? That was a boy, you know, had a friend. And man, he would go over to his friend's house. And they would eat pork chops at his friend's house. But when he went home, they never ate pork chops at home. Both daddies slaughtered hogs, pigs, swine, what you all call them? Yeah, they both had. Man, both daddies killed pigs and slaughtered pigs. Why could one boy eat pork chops and the other boy not? The problem wasn't with the pig. The pork chop was in both pigs. One boy's daddy knew how to go in and cut it out. And the other boy's daddy didn't know how to go cut it out. So when we talk to people about the Bible, man, the reason why a whole lot of folk are still trying to obey the old covenant is because their preachers don't know how to cut it out. Brother Mitchell knows how to cut. And I just want to work on you. And I tell you this. You know what a surgeon is. Many of you have had surgery. And you also know what a butcher is. When you go to the hospital, I guarantee you, you don't call for a butcher. Talk back to me when you can. You want to steal for surgeon because your life is on the line. Well, why is it then when it comes to the most valuable possession you own, your soul? Why you gonna get somebody who's not skillful in teaching, apt to teach, who's able to rightly divide the word? You go out and get a preacher butcher. And he cuts you up. Then when you come over here to the Church of Christ and you see it being cut right, you get mad with us. You ought to go get mad with the butcher preacher. He was the one who messed you up. You want to choke me. You want to whip me. What have I done? Sometime, man, you in a hospital and they work on you, and then after a while, this doctor sees that he can't handle it. What does he do? He calls for another surgeon that's better than he. And he comes in and says, well, you know, he did a great job, but we're going to have to do corrective surgery. You get to smiling. Well, that's all I'm doing tonight. Your preacher butchers you up. And I'm up in here trying to do corrective. Help me, Jesus. These folks need some help over here. I'm trying to help somebody. You are a curse if you don't do all the works of the law. And I'm not talking about some of them. Listen to your Bible. As it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, how many things must you do? I really want to deviate a minute. Yeah, a lady came to our church one day. And when she got there, and I know a lot of women don't wear pants, you know, and all of that. I understand. You know, I think you ought to give God your best. I have no problem with that. But now don't condemn me to hell. She walked in there. She said, Pastor, you are going to hell. I say, would you mind telling me for what? She said, you have these women up in here with these pants on, and the Bible said women should not wear pants. I said, honey, let me work with you for a minute. Come to Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Let me work with you for a minute. I'm not bothering anybody, but I want to work with you for a minute. See, a whole lot of folk, man, they got in their minds what they believe, and you can't get it out of it. You can't get it out of some people. Now, what I want you to do is this. Now, remember what I told you. If you keep one of them, what you got to do? You have to keep them all. Now, first of all, watch verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, did you all catch that? Now, let me just tell you something. Ladies, I'm just perusing the audience. I see some ladies with some blouses on. You know what a blouse is? It is nothing but a shirt that's made for a woman. But now a shirt that's made for a man is different from a shirt that's made for a woman. Now, man, let me help you with this. Anytime you go and buy a shirt, if the buttons are on the right side, you can wear it. That's a man's shirt. But if the buttons are on the left side, that's a woman's shirt. That's a blouse. So some of you fellas need to check your buttons. I do stuff like this. I don't mean to teach you how to shop, but I have to work on stuff. Everybody checking shirts now, huh? But that's all right. That's all right. Now, what I want you to understand about all of that is this. When you start picking and choosing and fail to realize that all the law was nailed to the cross, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And this is what I did to her. I said, now, lady, I want you to come to verse 11 with me. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Now, did you catch it? I said, now, ma'am, I guarantee you, you don't have on a silk blouse. It's multi fabric. I say, so if everybody in here is going to hell, you going with us. She left me alone. I said, she left me alone. Are you all catching this? You see, a whole lot of people, they don't have it right. Because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. God knows what he wants us to do. Now, I need to close, but I want to talk about, is it sing and pray? Or is it sing and play? Well, let me give you something to send us home with. Go to James chapter 5, verse number 13. Let's see what God left on the pages of inspiration. James chapter 5 and verse number 13. Are you there? Listen to your Bible. The book says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, let him sing song. Now, did you catch it? Let him sing songs. He didn't say let him play songs. Let him sing songs. So what do we have here? Do we have singing and praying? Or do we have singing and playing? I maintain we have singing and praying. Or you're not satisfied. Come to Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to work on it until I've had enough. Are you all paying attention? And it takes a whole lot for me to get enough. Did you catch it? I'm going to work on it till I've had enough. And it takes a whole lot for me to have enough. Oh, yes. When Brother Mitchell drops me off by the store, I don't get one soda, I get five. It takes a whole lot for me to get enough. I don't go in there and get a quarter of a jerk chicken. I get a half and some more stuff. I want to get a whole, but I don't want him talking about me. But I just have to have enough. When those sisters took me out, I had to get enough. Are you all paying attention? I ate my food, all three fish. Man, they were getting bags and boxes. I didn't need a box. I carried mine in me. Not with me, but in me. And then I went by and got the ice cream dipped in chocolate. You all say what you want. It takes a lot for me to get enough. And so I just work on it. I do the same thing when I'm preaching. It takes a lot for me to get enough. So I'm going to work on it till I get enough. Are you in Revelation 5, verse number 8? And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now look at what they had. Number one, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of odors. But don't worry, let the Bible interpret. What are they? They are the prayers of the saints. You see, harps make a good melody. Vials full of odor give a good smelling savor up to God. So when we pray to God, it's beautiful, it's melodious, It smells good. Are you all paying attention? That's all he's saying. Don't worry about people say, well, when we get to heaven, there's instruments of music in heaven. This is what I tell them. Well, right now, since you're not in heaven, don't worry about it. And if you get there and find some up there, then you play them. But right now, are you all listening? A lot of folks talking about what's going to happen when we get to heaven. Don't worry about that. You got to get there first. So if you don't do what he tells you down here, you never get there. And then this is not literal language anyway. It's symbolical. Now watch verse number 9. Let's see what else we're going to get. We just got praying. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Are you paying attention? I'm telling you, it's singing and praying. That's what we read in our opening text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, what is it then? I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Come to Acts 16, verse 25. Let's just see what the book says. Paul and Silas had been arrested down in a jail called at Philippi. They were down there for the preaching of the word of God. And in Acts 16, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Was it singing and praying, or was it singing and playing? It was singing and praying. Never in the New Testament is it singing and playing. Now the Holy Spirit didn't get amnesia. The Holy Spirit didn't forget when he wanted to use the word play, he used it. When he didn't want to use it, he didn't use it. The best place I can think of to put play is in 1 Corinthians 14, 15. He could have put play in that text. I will sing with the Spirit. He could have said, I will sing with the instruments of music. That's what he said under the old. They were as one. Isn't that right? But when he gets to the new, he says, sing with the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Sing with the understanding. Pray with the understanding. Get that word with. It deals with relations. You don't go around saying, I will with myself yesterday. Now you may say, I was by myself. Anybody knows if you were with yourself yesterday, you could have been with some more people with yourself. Come on, talk back to me. You say, I was by myself. And I don't know anything about English. I just can look at you and tell you were not just with yourself. You could have been with somebody else, with yourself. So you have to say, with myself alone. Then I know no one else was with you. I write people letters all the time. I say, we are praying for you. And they say, well, how can we be praying and it's just you? You listening? Paul, what are you telling us? I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. He's telling us what he's going to sing and pray with. I have to go a step further. Go to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10. You see, the Holy Spirit knew when he wanted to use the word play. Look at verse number 7. If he wanted us to play with an instrument, he would have put it in there. He put it in the old, didn't he? Didn't he say they play instruments of music? Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So the Holy Spirit uses the word play when he wants to use the word play. If he wanted us to play while we sing, he would have told us to play. They play in the Old Testament. He didn't want us to play in the New Testament. He nailed playing to the cross. He nailed the incense to the cross. He nailed the bulls, the goats, the rams, the he goats and the she goats. All of it. He nailed it to the cross. Well, what do we have? Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ. Well, I wait on you. I've been pacing myself all this time. I think I'll wait on you. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Your Bible is right. I maintain when you go and write and divide the word, you won't have any problems. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And what are we going to do? We're going to sing with grace in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm just trying to get through this so we can come back tomorrow night. But I'm trying tonight to get through this so you can understand what God wants you to do. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, the Bible says, are you there? Isn't that right? Well, what does it say? Listen to what it said. I just took off. Yeah. I got it now. You know, sometimes, man, my brain freezes on me and it froze. And I couldn't think of speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now remember, under Amos 5:23, the melody was made on the outside on a vow. Isn't that right? But now here we are in the New Testament. He said, make melody where? In your heart. Your music ought to be made in your heart. You see, a whole lot of people, they have the right intent, but they use the wrong instrument. The instrument is the heart. And the heart is in you. Now listen to this. If God wants us to use an instrument of music, then everybody has to come in here with their own mechanical instrument. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. That means if I come in here, I have to bring my own instrument. You come in here, you have to bring your own instrument. One person cannot play for you. You have to play for yourself. And I'm pretty sure this will probably be the worst sounding church in town. Brother Mitchell, can you teach them how to play those instruments? You see, you're already in trouble. Now he has to go employ somebody to teach you how to play your instrument. But God didn't worry about that. So he put one in you called the heart, made without hands. Am I correct about it? As I go to my seat, I need you to understand that Jesus, with his apostles, prayed and sang and went out unto the Mount of Olives. I want you to know, after they had sung and hymn, they went out. Oh, you know that's Matthew 26:30. They had sung. One verse says sing. One verse says sang. And another verse says sung. They had to sing, sang, and sung. What God authorized, he authorized sing, sang, and sung. S-I-N-G, sing. S-A-N-G, sung. Sing. S-U-N-G, sung. So what was it in the New Testament? It was sing, sang, and sung. But today, it's bing, bang, boom. Today, it's cling, clang, clone. Today, it's ding, dang, dong. Today, it's ping, ping, plong. But back then, it was sing, sing, song. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to ping, ping, plong? Cling, clang, clone. Ding, ding, dong. Bing, bang, boom. Are you going to sing, sing, song? God gave sing, sing, song. Hebrews 13, verse 15. I will offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I don't know about you, but I want to sing, sing, song. It's not ping, pain, pong. You all know the great Shirley Caesar. Well, let me give you a little story. While I'm going to my seat, I was in the airport in Flint, Michigan. Mrs. Caesar and some of her band members got off the plane. When I got off the plane, and we went to the baggage area, and I said, hello, Mrs. Caesar. She nodded her head at me like this. And by that time, I'm ready to talk. But she doesn't want to talk. So one of her band members walked up with his big old instrument on his back. I said, sir, I have a question for you, because Mrs. Caesar wouldn't talk to me. I said, sir, my question is, can you tell me the difference between instrumental blues and instrumental gospel? I said, I want to know the difference between instrumental blues and instrumental gospel. You see, I believe the truth. I stand for it everywhere I go, anywhere I can get a chance to preach. I stand up and preach. I go in places where they claim I should not be. And man, I go to work. When my wife is riding with me, especially during Christmas season, she'll see these people standing out with all of these buckets and cans begging money. She'll say, Dad, let me out right here. Let me out, let me out. And the reason she wants to get out, because she knows when I get up to those people begging with all of those buckets, I'm going to start teaching them the word of God. So she gets out and goes in the store before I can meet them. Are you all paying attention? So I work on people wherever I go. She'll say, let me out. And I have to let her out because I'm going to work on them. Man, I worked on a guy one day. He told me he was out here raising money for the house of David. I say, man, did you not know that Jesus Christ came and built his own house? As a matter of fact, David never had a house. God wouldn't even let David build a house in the Old Testament. And my wife runs off in the storm. She doesn't want to hear all of that. But anyway, that's all right. So I asked this gentleman, what's the difference between instrumental blues and instrumental gospel? He said, well, you know the lyrics. I say, wait a minute, sir. When you start dealing with lyrics, now you are dealing with vocal or a cappella music. I didn't ask you about vocal or a cappella music. I asked you about instrumental music. Is there a difference between instrumental blues and instrumental gospel? Then the other gentleman came over. He said, sir, I've been playing for Mrs. Caesar for the last 24 years. And I'll answer your question. There is no difference between instrumental blues and instrumental gospel. I said, thank you, sir. I know there's no difference because there is a song. As a matter of fact, I baptized a Pentecostal preacher. This guy used to open shows for Shirley Caesar. Are you all paying attention? He would open up the show for Shirley Caesar. He would come out and sing a couple of songs, and then here comes Shirley Caesar. Well, I baptized this Pentecostal preacher that was opening shows for Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, and some of these folk that's supposed to know what they are doing. And this guy has a CD, and it's called Jesus is the Way. But if anybody knows anything about Otis Redding with his song Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, y'all ever heard it? Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. But this brother changed the words. He didn't say sitting on the Dock of the Bay. He said Jesus is the Way. Are you all listening? Are you getting the rhythmatic form here? Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. He was saying Jesus is the Way. He had the same blues beat of sitting on the Dock of the Bay. But he just put some words like Jesus to it. Just like Brother Mitchell told you tonight. Just because they slap God on it, stamp God on it, print Jesus on it, doesn't mean it's authorized by God nor Jesus. Are you all paying attention? And then I had the young man, he's a gospel preacher in the Church of Christ today. I had the young man, and this is not the same young man that I baptized the whole Pentecostal church, with the exception of four of them. These are different men. I work on anybody. Anybody that'll listen to me, I talk. And then when I get home, my wife said, well, honey, what you want to talk about? I've talked out. I don't really want to talk about anything. But then I make myself talk. Because I don't want to be sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Alone. Are you all listening? And so we were in class one night. And he said to me, Brother Hope, why is it that they can't see this? I say, for the same reason you couldn't see it. You have to have an open heart, an open mind, and an open book. Open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your Bible, and you can see it. But if you don't want to see it, you won't see it. You have to look for it. You have to want it. It's not sing and play. It's sing and pray. So what's your desire tonight? You heard the word. Are you willing to believe it? John 1, verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You have to believe on Jesus. You have to repent of your sins. Romans 2 and 4. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearing and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Then you must be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must be baptized. Am I correct about it? Oh yes, the Bible is right. 1 Peter 3:20-21. When sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you obey God, you are resurrected to walk in newness of life. He'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He'll call you by the name Christian. You are a member of the Church of Christ. And all you need to do is live faithfully until you die. What's your desire tonight? Did you understand it? What is it then? Is it singing and praying? Or is it singing and praying? It's singing and praying. I've said enough. Somebody, tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about watch out for the ditches. See, there are some ditches that have been dug by men. And a lot of people have fallen into them because they are not watching out for them tomorrow night. But tonight, did you get your music question answered? Tonight. Are you satisfied with God's answer? Tonight. You see, you ought to start moving toward God. I mean, how many sermons do you have to hear? I have a sermon that I preach entitled, How Many Sermons Have You Heard? Acts chapter 2, they heard one. Obeyed it. Philip went down to Samaria, they heard one. Obeyed it. The eunuch heard one. Obeyed it. Saul of Tarsus heard one and obeyed it. Cornelius heard one and obeyed it. The Lydia heard one and obeyed it. The Philippian jailer heard one and obeyed it. The Corinthians heard one and obeyed it. Why you gotta hear so many? I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. Why you gotta hear so many? How many sermons have you heard and still sitting back there in your sins? Are you telling me those people love God more than you? They heard one. Well, one of the things that helped them, they didn't have all of this foolishness with all of these different churches and denominations they had to choose from. But the fact still remains, they didn't hear but one. Now, what I need to preach when I come back tomorrow night, maybe I need to preach there. How many sermons have you heard? You've already heard too many. That's why some of you are still rejecting it. You heard too much. Come to Jesus. Give him your life. Listen, he can do more with your life. Look at how you've made a mess of our things. Why you think I gave him my life? Because I looked at what pitiful condition I put myself in. But thank God, he turned it around. 36 years ago. I can count the times that I went to any kind of church on one hand from 5 years of age till I was 21. We just didn't go to church at my house. My parents didn't take us. I got in a lot of trouble. My oldest brother died at the age of 33 because he was a heroin addict. I baptized his nurse. When they pulled up his sleeve and saw all of those needle tracks in his arms, my oldest sister was an educated woman, college degree, but she was an alcoholic, She died at the age of 39. My next oldest brother was on drugs for 35 years. Every morning he would set his bottle down by the bedside. He would go to bed with it and wake up with it, pulling his oxygen tank to breathe. He died at the age of 50. I committed a crime for real. I went to prison. They gave me a 15-year sentence in prison. And that's when I started reading the Bible. I want you all to hear this. Don't get scared, sisters. I'm not snatching purses and robbing and all of that stuff. Nah. Hey, you know, I've been straight for 36 years. You know, hey, you know how these people are. They come on, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. No. You either have recovered or you're still drinking. Now, which one are you doing? In other words, I'm over. God bless me. You don't believe? Ask my wife. I'm changed. But had I not gone to prison, I guarantee you, I wouldn't be standing here today. When I went to prison, my brother that was on drugs for 35 years, I gave him all of my drugs and all of my money. And he trying to impress my grandmother. And he would go over and roll her out some bills, you know. Or she would write me a letter. Kenneth gave me such and such amount of money. I wanted to tell her that was drug money. If she had known that, she wouldn't have taken it. If God can change me, Yeah, I know you all think I've been in the church all my life. Good little old boy. You better ask somebody. I was so terrible growing up that when I got baptized, my friends, man, heard about it. They went to the Church of Christ. They said, we got to make sure this is him. God did for me what he did for Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus. But when the Lord turned him around, he became Paul. All my friends knew me by my middle name, Dean, D-A-N. Nobody knew I was Daryl Hope. And when I got converted, I dropped Dean and started calling myself by my real name, Daryl Hope. And the folk were saying, is that Dean? Who is that? Let's go. And they came to see. And it was the old Dean they were looking for. But the new Dan Holt was here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If God can do it for me, I know he can do it for you. I I've dealt with drugs stacked up from this floor, man, to a 10-foot ceiling from wall to wall. I did everything, man, with ball. I took the B off it. I did it all. You name it, honey, I did it. Smoked all kind of stuff. There were times, man, I was so high, paranoid, I was afraid to walk across the street. I've been out there. I know what it's like. I have a son right now. That's 42 years old that I had on a girl when I was in high school. I've been a rascal. Y'all may not call me back. I've been terrible and I know it. But Jesus gave me a second chance. I'm respectful. Today, out of all these ladies around here that have ever said anything to me, not one of them can say he ever got out of his way with me, never said anything out of the way to me. He's always been courteous and nice. That's just what God makes us when he makes us Christians. Brother Mitchell, I was preaching at a church one night. A lady called me about 1 o'clock in the morning on my hotel phone. Asked me, what are you doing? I say, honey, what you ought to be doing? Sleep! Calling me this time of morning. I remember I was at a meeting in Michigan. You know Brother Evans and L. Evans. I was in a meeting up in Michigan. And a lady walked up to me. By this time, I only had 4 children at home, you know. And so she came up to me. She said, I'm taking you out to dinner tonight. I said, honey, you can't afford me, my wife, and my 4 children. She left me alone. What do you mean you're taking me out to dinner? It's some that come with me. I'm finished. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because if God can change a sinner like me, I know he can change you. You don't even claim to be that bad. Come on, talk to me. But if you really want to be changed, you have to give your heart to the Lord. And don't come up here talking about, well, I'm coming to Jesus with a broken heart. No, if you come to Jesus with a broken heart, bring him all the pieces. Don't leave a piece at your girlfriend's house. He needs that piece too. Don't leave a piece at the liquor store. He needs that piece too. He needs every piece of your broken heart in order to put you back together. Now I'm finished. Is it sing and pray? Or is it sing and play? I'm going to sing. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to shout. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray. Thank God. Jesus did it for me. He did it all for me. I'm glad he did it for me. And that's how I see it. I see it just like Paul sees it. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. You know what Paul is saying? If no one else wants him, he gave himself for me. That's how I see it. Do you see it that way? Song leader, I'm finished. Somebody, we're going to stand.